Welcome back to RBKD. It is a marching band Monday edition of RBKD. My man John Rackles got the idea, and it's a damn good one, to play popular songs that you would know played by marching bands, university marching bands. So you know this one, KD, I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do. We were singing it during the break.
We were singing it during the break. Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer was a classic one.
Now, what band do you think it is? That's even, I mean, that is an impossible question to answer. Could it be any number of bands? I love how you actually listen to try to think what kind of band it is. There's no way you got to guess. He's really
Bon Jovi.
This is Bon Jovi. Yeah,
no, but what band?
I know, but I want to get the Bon Jovi part.
Okay.
I'm going to say.
There's no way you're going to get the band.
The drums sound like Pac-12ers for sure.
UCLA.
Not UCLA.
You love the Pac-12. You've been guessing Pac-12 all day.
Right, because they don't care about football.
You know what? You're also racist. I'm going HBCU, historically black college here. All right, let's go with Southern.
This one is actually Florida State.
Old
Gators.
Darn it. I should have guessed Florida State. I don't know why
you said
that's
the
so
old
much
Gators.
Fun.
Florida State's the Seminoles, John.
Oh, no, dude, you'd get beat up over in Florida.
I just saw
the word Florida and just had that
you'd get beat
reaction.
Up in Florida and not even say that.
That's
Florida, so welcome to Florida.
That is a great one. Nice. We're taking random shots at people today. Taking random shot at
Florida.
Nothing
random about a shot at Florida.
That's true. That's a pretty direct
It's just
aim.
Every day for me. I usually fit one of those in.
All right.
Just odd people.
Florida's full of odd people. You have any relatives in Florida?
No, thank God.
I don't have one relative in Florida. Any relatives in Florida for you, John? I don't have any relatives in Florida. I don't think I've ever had a relative.
Natalie's the closest thing I have to Florida.
Oh, right, Natalie. Okay. See, we can't be talking about people from Florida because her people are from Florida.
She knows that. She's one of the normal ones.
And my girlfriend was born in Florida. Her family in Florida, too.
And she got out.
She got out. Yeah, she survived.
She survived.
And her grandparents live down there, but they're like ex-military, really tough types. So, they can take Florida.
Yeah, that's what old people really retire, too, man. You got lots of old people down there retiring.
I'm not saying
grandmothers
all of them,
there.
But there's
if you're
some
not
crazy
old and you're
Florida.
Not Disney, watch out.
No, it's crazy. Florida man is a real thing. And Florida woman.
Yes.
And they're both crazy.
Both.
All right, let's get to something that was kind of crazy, too. The college football weekend, which was crazy. We want to start in the Big 12 country. We can start there.
We hit a little bit of it last segment.
We did. We got into Oklahoma State and their big Oklahoma State's loss, I should say.
Kansas State and Texas Tech.
Oh, last segment. But we got into last hour.
We did a little
Oklahoma
bit.
Oklahoma State's
we
loss.
We can get into it more,
Iowa
though.
State. We can start. I start with Iowa State's big win, 24-21.
This one
over
beat
Oklahoma
the
State. No, did it really? Was this a tiebreaker?
Because the score.
Oh.
You know what my score was?
Was it 24-21?
Close, 26-23, Iowa State.
You said it was only a 3-point game.
Four total points that I missed, so I got Dave on that.
Nice.
So I'll take it. He beat me on the tiebreaker earlier this year. So
man,
no
you guys have been
that.
Real close the last two or three weeks.
That one
though.
Just felt like Iowa State was going to win it, and they were going to win it under the spread, which was 7, which I thought was too high.
No, that was a great game. Spencer Sanders actually played a hell of a game.
He did.
We expect Spencer Sanders to have a meltdown. He did not. Brock Purdy actually ended up playing a good game, too. And Brock
if
Purdy,
you give me Spencer Sanders' number, I say they win.
We expected Spencer Sanders and Brock Purdy, either of them to melt down against a really good defense, elite defense.
Neither did.
And that would determine the story, and it did not.
How
that
about
was not
QBRs?
The case at all.
Spencer Sanders' QBR, 83.5.
They killed it.
Brock Purdy, 84.6.
Yeah.
They both played up to their ceiling.
And Xavier Hutchinson had a hell of a game for Iowa State.
He did.
And Brendan Presley had a hell of a game for Oklahoma State in terms of the receivers who made big plays.
Presley the one that made that one in double coverage. That was a hell of a catch.
That was a hell
and
of
a good
a
ball,
catch.
Too.
It was, but that was just, that was a moss. He just basically mossed those
them,
DBs
yeah.
like that. And I would say that's, decent defensive backs. But Brendan Presley, he's also the one that caught the touchdown against Texas, too. Remember on the rollout, the bootleg?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually turned out to be a decent player for him. But it was a tight game. I mean, I thought Oklahoma State would have enough to pull it out if Spencer Sanders had that kind of game. But, man, Iowa State with some tough defense down the stretch and some great play calls by Matt Campbell. They're fourth and short. They got stopped multiple times, actually, on fourth and short, too. Maybe on third short and fourth and short. But, man, the creativity of the play calling.
There's some good creativity and getting Breece
nice
Hall
play designs.
In space, scores a touchdown again.
Yeah.
And defensively, we thought this would be a defensive game, and it definitely was.
Yes.
I mean, you had your guys really stepping up.
Yeah.
You had Malik Rodriguez. You had Mike Rose. You had both secondaries actually gave up more than I thought they were. But for 24-21, this was fun. I also watched all of San Diego State Air Force.
Did you say Malik Rodriguez?
Malcolm Rodriguez. Did I say Malik?
Yeah. That'd be great if it's Malik.
That sounds like a guy I'd create on NCAA.
I want to recruit a Malik Rodriguez.
Where's he from? Puerto Rico. And he can fly.
He'd be playing soccer. Malik Rodriguez is playing. He's playing.
Watch the
football.
Helmet shield I give him. I'm gonna have Malik this guy
Rodriguez
just rolling.
Would be great.
Here.
You're gonna create him on college football games tonight. I know you are.
I don't know where my brain is today. I probably will. Malcolm Rodriguez. This was a fun game though.
It was a fun game.
It did open up the Big 12. So Oklahoma State now at 6-1. They've got kind of a tougher schedule ahead of them. They still have a tough road. And I saw Texas fans saying, well, this opens stuff up, but also knowing that, man, dude, fix your own crap.
Yeah, you got to win out to even get in the conversation.
I think that so, they could do it. I wouldn't bet on it.
Well, yeah, I'll say it's for Texas, it's something that Texas could do. I think it's unlikely at this point, but they had a bye week, and this is their chance to come out looking like a different team.
Right. So Oklahoma State, they'll probably be favored at West Virginia, but don't sleep on that game. They have Kansas next weekend, so they'll you would think they'd win that. They've got TCU at home. They're in Lubbock, but they still have OU left. So there could be definitely one loss in there. Could be a couple losses, and they could run it too.
They could run it. I see them running because TCU has just been.
Watch out for West Virginia.
Okay, because I usually tell them to worry about TCU, but their defense. What? And I hate to say that about a Gary Patterson team. It's been atrocious.
No, it's bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah. They didn't look good, and then also Duggan gave up a couple picks that
he
can't give up.
You can't do that. No,
so what? It did feel like West Virginia was going to pop through at some point. They were 0-3 heading into that game against TCU, but they weren't a Kansas 0-3. I mean, hell, they had lost to Oklahoma 16-13, right?
Yeah. No, okay, Kansas for about, 2.5 quarters. Probably longer than that, actually. Turned into a game.
I'm watching that thing, and that's 10-0 Kansas. And one, what are you doing? If you're at midfield and you're Kansas, don't let the clock run out. Like, I mean, take a last shot down there.
Hail Mary.
Take a shot down there. You need every little thing.
Because things
you
are going your way.
Get. Things are going your way. Don't be just happy to be up 10-0 at halftime. I didn't feel like they were aggressive enough there. And Oklahoma. Man, Lincoln had to turn things on. Give Caleb Williams credit. They made some plays in the second half, obviously, and scored 35 points to win that thing 35-23. But Oklahoma's beatable. We've been saying that all year. Everyone in the Big 12 is beatable.
Yeah, Oklahoma, they just keep getting away with it.
They
won't all year. Someone's going to get them. But you're right. I mean, and I'm giving Lincoln Riley credit.
One of those unimpressive 8-0 teams I've seen in a long time.
It is. But they're really good in a crisis. Like they're not a well-rounded
give
team
for that, right?
But in a crisis, when they hit crisis,
they make plays.
They don't look like the team for three quarters that they end up playing like in that crisis moment, whenever it is, either early in the fourth quarter or late in the fourth quarter, and they seem to make those plays. And Lincoln Riley makes really really critical decisions and crucial moments, and that helps them out a ton. And having a quarterback like Caleb Williams with the instincts to take the football from a ball carrier who's about to be stopped because of forward progress and then go get the first down, I've never seen it before, ever, at any level of football. That was the first time I've ever seen that before. He took it from his own player.
Who takes
the football from their own player?
Cousins' Pee-wee game.
Maybe you did. Exactly.
That's it.
There you go. You could be right about that.
But I also would say they wouldn't have been playing football out there.
Right? Like, the chance of all the things that could go wrong by you trying to snatch the football.
And also the understanding that this is him.
This is it. Yeah.
To actually give it up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. The other guy, to me, is the other one.
That's
That's a great point. I don't know if they ask the running back if you just give it up once you knew it was Caleb Williams trying to, because everybody's always trying to snatch the football from you as a ball carrier.
Right.
And how do you in that split second know, this is my teammate snatching it, you can have it?
You don't really.
I don't know. I would love to hear. I got to go do some research and find the transcript and see, because I know somebody had to ask that running back that question. Unbelievable.
So this is just a wide open, not only wide open year in the Big 12 for that second spot, although Oklahoma State would still be the front runner, but just wide open for, and actually I'm not sure they would be the front runner, because if Iowa State only has one loss in conference too, so they would have that tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right about that. Man.
But Iowa State still has to play some teams.
I was going to say Iowa State got to play Texas down the stretch. I'm trying to think who else they played Baylor, though, right? Iowa State's played Baylor.
Iowa State did play Baylor, and they lost.
Okay. We'll see. That's because right now Baylor is in a position 31-29.
They still have – they're at West Virginia. Texas at home. They're still at OU.
Yeah,
Iowa State still has stuff. That was the team I was probably thinking of that still has stuff in
front of them. That's the one. I forgot about this. So they still got at OU.
Got at OU. Big 12's open.
Big 12's wide open.
College football's open. College football playoff is wide open. I mean, hell, look, Cincinnati barely got through against Navy. Now, they ended up kind of pulling away there in the third quarter, so give them credit for that. But they were sleepwalking through that game. Penn State ends up losing in 9 overtimes, 20-18. Can we please change that rule? That is so dumb. There's got to be a better way to do this, right, Rod?
Yeah, I hope so.
So they just go to 2-point conversions, what, in the third one on?
I think that's the new rule, that they go to 2-point conversions, which is why you end up with the 20-18 score. I'll say this though.
9 overtimes, a record.
Yeah, Brett Bielema, remember last week?
Oh, he did.
He basically trashed his team publicly.
He did what I did for Sark. Now, Sark can't do that and shouldn't do that.
No, you shouldn't do that. The Jim
Even
Mora
if you believe that, because you know that, okay, I've just lost a locker room probably, and it's just not going to help. There's no reason to do it, even if it's the truth.
Yeah.
But he essentially said, we don't have talent here.
He went scorched earth. It basically it's basically, you know, when keeping it real goes wrong. He said, we don't have talent here. Talked about the offensive line.
Or when keeping it real goes right.
I guess it went right because they played for him. Maybe he knew buttons to press.
I'm going
to
prove him.
Yeah.
It can turn into that.
Maybe he was bad cop, and then now it's a locker room against him.
I'm going to prove him.
Yeah. And it worked out
for him.
Good
luck with that long term. But it worked out this week, and Penn State's overrated because James Franklin is.
You know how we feel about James Franklin.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Our show is going to come in. Yeah. I'm sure Jeff Howe was apologizing from 10 to 12. We're not doing that here from 3 to 7.
Seriously.
He's going to get a big job, though, because Miami's going to be open, even though Miami got the win. USC's open. LSU's open. There are jobs that are open.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, he's a great. I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. Second motivational speaker.
Oregon almost cost me beat the pluck. Did you watch this game?
And you know what?
They had the right choice. It was 34-17. Yes, I did. And in the third quarter.
I chose Oregon, too, with you. But I think we were both like
Anthony Brown, what are you doing?
I knew you said it was going to keep you close. Chip Kelly's just doing a good job with that roster, man. And
he
got a lot of vets there.
I'll give him love.
They play hard for him. I thought Oregon should have won it by more than 3, though.
They should have.
That was too close for comfort.
Anthony Brown throws 2 picks, throws 1, and sets up UCLA. Give UCLA credit. And give DTR some credit, man. This kid's playing hard. He got beat up all game long, but he looked really good. Chase Griffin not suiting up. I wonder why. No, I love Chase Griffin, but DTR went out for the end of the game, and they brought in some freshmen.
Yeah.
And I saw Chase, and Chase had a jersey on, but no pads.
Transfer market, or is he hurt?
I don't know. I think he's running for president next 4 years.
Yeah, you're telling me how sharp he is.
Yeah, he's incredibly sharp. So he may have bigger fish to fry. But give Oregon credit; they somehow won this thing. Did you see Kayvon Thibodeau post game?
No, what'd he say?
He dropped an F-bomb on ABC.
Was he mad?
No.
Oh, it was a celebratory F-bomb. Oh, okay, interesting.
Man, just want to give these guys credit. You know, give the team credit. You know, offense did great. Defensively, these guys balled out. Our coaches, I mean, that was an effing great game plan. But he threw effing out there. But it was subtle enough. And
he just rolled through it.
I go, wait a minute. I had to hit rewind. I'm like, F-bomb. Wait a minute. He dropped that.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I will say that, you know, Oregon's got something rolling right now. That one loss they had was ugly, but I mean, right now everybody plays these ugly games. Well, so I don't know if
I think it's so open.
Yes, I'm saying
outside of one team.
Remember we always talk about the eye test, and it's it ends up being a beauty pageant, like how many, you know, how you win. Or you got to win pretty, and you got to win by a certain amount, or a certain margin. I don't know if that factor applies as much this year. Because everybody has those really ugly
just have to win.
Performances. Yeah, and even Georgia wins ugly because they win with defense.
Right.
So they don't even try to win in a dominant fashion like it's a beauty contest. So that's thrown out the window. You just got to win, baby. Just win, baby, this year.
Just keep on winning.
Just keep on winning.
That's all you got to do.
Yep.
And we've had some teams that have done that. San Diego State stayed undefeated. I'll tell you, he's looking pretty good right now. And this shows you I'm fluid and I'm being objective about this because I made some money off them losing early in the year and not covering. Texas A&M looks good. Yeah, I know South Carolina's not good, but I watched the early part of that. They got Weidemeyer involved early. Calzada looks more comfortable, and that defense looked like the wrecking crew.
Yeah.
And with college football being as open as it is, I don't know. They're at 6-2 now. I'm not sure they can get over those two losses. We'll see how the season finishes out. But my point is, outside of Georgia, you can throw Cincinnati in there. I hope Cincinnati loses. I just do.
You don't want to see the group of five represented this year?
They're not a playoff team. And I'm not sure anyone's
this
a playoff team.
This is the year they're a playoff team, though.
You're right, because, look, I would have one team standing at the end.
Come on, dude. Wake Forest is 7-0. This is a wild year.
Wake Forest is underrated. Now they gave up. They are. They
I
actually
know,
are.
You probably watched them. I know you have.
They gave up 56 to Army, but they are underrated. I've actually done well
you
with them
sick mofo.
As well. It's wide open. Michigan State this
fighting
weekend.
Fighting hardballs, baby. Hey, you know,
are you
I'm a Jim Harbaugh
are you
fan.
Well, we both said he would work out.
I love me some Jim Harbaugh, so I'm hoping it is legit. We won't
that
know.
That was years ago.
He's got Michigan State,
yes.
And he's got Ohio State. So Jim Harbaugh's in the same boat with me as Texas football. Just show me.
And he's got Penn State in Happy Valley.
He should beat Penn State. If he don't beat Penn State, then I don't want to hear nothing from Jim Harbaugh.
But he's in East Lansing.
But you got to beat.
He's at Penn State.
He needs to beat his rivals.
He's got to beat Ohio State.
You need to beat Michigan State this year because Michigan State's good. And what's Michigan State ranked?
They're undefeated.
Are they top 10 too?
This is the first top 10 matchup in this rivalry.
That's going to be sexy.
Guess when? Since 1964.
Between both Michigan schools?
There are a lot of rivalries that I've looked at.
That's
You've talked
sexy.
About this before with Texas and Texas A&M. They're actually not top 10-ish in the same year ever.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Or it goes back 50 years.
And so
like,
they both were in the top 10 or both elite programs.
It's they're getting all the recruits in that state that year, that era.
It's the double-digit win stat that Texas and Texas A&M have only won double-digit games in the same season
once
in the history of both programs.
Right.
Crazy. But Michigan State is probably something like that, too. I bet you're right. So I didn't know they were both top 10. He's got to beat Michigan State, and he's got to beat Ohio State. That's it. Other than that, Jimmy.
So nobody, if he does that, they're going to be in the playoff.
Jimmy, nobody wants to hear anything else from you. That's just the reality of it. Because we've seen Jim Harbaugh. This doesn't impress people. They don't. You got to beat Ohio State.
Yeah,
because
I'm watching them.
Michigan State.
And I like them.
I like them, too.
I like them. I like that they got a couple running backs, including Corum, that can really go. I love Aiden Hutchinson. He is.
Just a pass rusher?
Yeah.
The DN you were talking about?
His dad, Steve, I remember him. His dad was an
Steve
outside
Hutchinson?
Linebacker.
Oh, really? He was offensive lineman, wasn't he?
Yeah. So his dad, may have been someone else then that I'm getting confused here. Chris Hutchinson, maybe is who I'm thinking of.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, because Steve was a guard.
I thought so, yeah.
And, man. Yeah, Steve was an offensive guard. But his dad, I remember, played at Michigan a long time ago and was a really good player. And ended up becoming a doctor.
Oh, no, you're right.
Is it Chris?
Christopher Hutchinson.
There you go.
Defensive tackle and outside linebacker for Michigan Wolverines.
90, 91.
90, 89, 92, you sick motherfucker.
Is he a doctor
92.
Now?
Yeah, he is. Oh, you are sick. How'd you know that?
I give up.
Wow. Later. Because
I do these weird rabbit hole and things.
Working as an emergency room doctor. He was living in Plymouth, Michigan.
Is it ER doctor? Wow.
ER doctor.
I knew
so
he
wants
doctor,
the thrill. He wants the hardcore stuff.
But this guy's big time. I like what they have. I just don't know how real they are. I don't think anyone's that real this year. That's great. That's what makes it fun.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Harbaugh's got a shot.
Yeah.
And if you don't beat Ohio State this year, you're never going to beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
This is the year.
Hey, I agree. With all that said, it's going to be Georgia and Alabama in the final. All right, let's get to, before we get to one and done, let me tell you about Apple Leasing and how great Apple Leasing is. It is the spot to go if you're looking for a new car, a used car. All you got to do is get online, get to appleleasing.com, take that free quote, tell them what you want, and you can do it for S&G. So just say, hey, here's a price range. This is kind of what I'm looking for. What can I get for it? What kind of deal can I get? Or what could I be driving? And then at that point, you can test drive stuff, which is really cool. They got great rates. Rates as low as 2.9%. And they've got multiple financing programs as well. They've got reps online. So if you have an idea, customized lease, fire away. It can't hurt. And if you've got a trade-in, obviously that'll help out as well. It's 512-346-9977, 512-346-9977, or appleleasing.com. One and done. Let's get into the Chiefs. I read, speaking of rabbit hole, in probably 7 or 8 articles, everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. What can the Chiefs fix this? I mean, it may be fixable to some degree, but they kind of are who they are. Also, to some degree. So there's some things they're just not going to be able to fix this year, and they've put themselves in this situation. We'll get into it up next in One and Done.
Like that five-star recruit in Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done. And this is another fun week of football. As Rod said, may come in at a five, but it still delivers.
Hey, damn right it did.
College football always does, but the NFL has recently, and I say recently, the last 5-6 years, feels like every weekend there's something going on there too, including with the Chiefs. And we were wrong. We took the Chiefs. We tried to talk through it, and I probably should have, you know, Rod said, what about that running game? And if you would have given me Derrick Henry's numbers, I would have said, oh, we're taking the Chiefs, Rod.
All day, every day. Not even getting 100 yards.
No.
But he threw a touchdown. I think he but in that game, yeah, I'm with you. I didn't see that coming. I did not see them beating the Chiefs that badly, with the Chiefs doing a decent job on Derrick Henry. I thought Derrick Henry run for like 250 yards. I'm like, okay.
And then, yeah, that just makes ran sense. Through him.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Middle school game.
No.
So if you look at the AFC West right now, Vegas is in first place. They're at 5-2. You got the Chargers at 4-2. Chiefs are only 3-4. So that's not really the issue. I mean, we've got a 17-game schedule this year. So you've got 10 games left. You've got time to make that up. But it's more about who they are. It's like we talked about with the Big 12, Rod. You could say it's out in front of Texas to some degree. I mean, some things have to happen, but that could happen. But what about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to win a game. I mean, it's that thing where it's like I'm not focused on who else it is. And Kansas City is in that spot. We talked about how sloppy they had been. So in the Chargers game, their first two possessions, first time in the Andy Reid era, they had two turnovers. Mahomes, he's been throwing the ball to the other team a lot. And so I think he's definitely pressing, and he feels that pressure from the defense in general, which has not been good. The defense for the Chiefs just has not been that same team.
Nope.
There's a lot of articles out there, and read one last night from Adam Teicher, and then there's one from Bill Barnwell today. Those are both on ESPN, CBS, PFF. There's stuff all over the place. So some of them kind of say get in the same stuff, but there are some numbers that definitely show that this team is flawed. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Mahomes because he is the most special guy. Mahomes has probably not been as bad as some people think. You know what his QBR was, though, against the Titans yesterday?
Terrible.
6.1. By far, that's out of 100.
That's definitely the worst of his career. I'm sure.
Not even close. His yeah, previous low was 37.4. That was last year. But his five worst QBRs,
wow,
three are in the last three games.
Damn.
He's forcing it. He's trying to do too
much.
And
I wonder if because the defense is so bad that he feels like I have to do more than
there's
just
no
operate
question
within the offense. Because the defense
there's no question.
You know what I mean? He's got to be watching that thinking, all right, I got to go. I got to take it up a notch.
He's trying to do too much. His ball security has not been good. Had a fumble as they're driving in the first half. They're already down against the Titans. But try to get a couple extra yards. He said post-game, I need to get down. There's no reason to try and get those extra 2 yards.
It's like, yeah, man, you're not Lamar Jackson.
No, his touchdown to interception ratio was almost 5-1. That was heading into the year. And now he leads the league or is tied for the lead in interceptions.
And nine of them.
Nine. He had six last year.
I think Kansas City now leads the league in turnovers. That's a team. They're right there at the top.
They've not been good at all. Here's one of the reasons, though. So I've been telling you, and you hit it earlier, you know it, but it was pretty obvious early on, and the analytics showed it, that you were kind of talking about what people are doing with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely you don't want to blitz Mahomes, okay?
No.
He'd been blitzed 13% of the time heading into the game yesterday. 13% of the time. You know how many times in 44 dropbacks Tennessee blitzed him?
Once. Yeah. They didn't blitz very often. They didn't blitz very often. Nobody's blitzing them anymore.
No, but one time out of 44.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So he's been blitzed 13% of the time. You know how much he's been pressured this year?
Oh, that's good.
This is why you don't blitz.
30%?
Yeah, you're almost on. 35%.
Okay. Yeah. So, that's why you don't blitz him.
That's why you don't blitz him.
Why take the chance? Why even? It's not necessary.
Right. And go ahead and add an extra guy.
Yeah, the simulated pressures.
That's all you got to do.
So you send guys from different directions. It still is a big four four rushers in the end, but maybe it's a linebacker, maybe it's a safety. The offensive line didn't know, and they reworked offensive line. It's a work in progress. Let's just say that.
It is. So their big free agent signing was Thuney. Mm-hmm. They get Orlando Brown and with the trade. But mm-hmm. Orlando Brown had been a right tackle. And now he's playing left tackle. He's been okay this year and been really good at times. He was not good against Tennessee. So he's adjusting to that. You got Creed Humphrey at center. You got Lucas Niang, who's at right tackle, who didn't play last year.
Right.
So essentially he's a rookie because he sat out because of COVID. And then they've got a rookie right guard. So a very young offensive line. I do think the offensive line will get better.
It will
because
be.
They are that young, and we know that's a group that has to be cohesive. They've got to play together. I think they'll figure that out. They haven't had a run game, though, at all.
No.
And Edwards-Helaire, who's been out now or is out now, had really not given them
even
much.
When he was there, it wasn't an impactful running game. It's what's really bringing down Kansas City is the turnovers you brought up. That's the biggest thing hurting the offense. I'm with you. I think the offensive line, there's no reason to panic about the offensive line. They'll gain some continuity and chemistry as they play together more. The defense, that's what you need to panic about.
Yes.
The defense, as bad as the turnovers are for that offense, the defense is also just killing them. It has been, wet toilet paper bad. It has not provided any resistance to opposing offenses at all.
It's not. And you're getting quick, sudden change because of the turnovers.
Also true.
It's
good
not
point.
Helping them out.
Very true.
So
very
in 2019, this is from Barnwell, even with an injured Mahomes missing time, they turned the ball over just 15 times. Last season, they turned the ball over 16 times in 16 games. In 2021, they have already turned the ball over 17 times in 7 games.
I'm telling you, it's historically bad for them in terms of how loose they have, how careless they've been with the football.
And also unlucky. So they've recovered 4 of their 12 fumbles in the league average of recovering your fumble, because a lot of that is just random
luck.
No,
it's the way the ball
bounces. It's 57%.
Yeah.
So hold on to the ball, but when you do fumble, they have not been jumping on it like most teams or the most average would be.
Well, and to that point, if you go look at Patrick Mahomes' dropped interception numbers, that is also a lucky stat. That's one of those stats just like fumble recoveries where all the analytics points to, well, honestly, it's just luck. How many guys end up catching interceptions, how many don't. Now, you have a bunch of ball hawks in your secondary, that helps. But Patrick Mahomes had like 21 dropped interceptions last year. So a lot of quarterbacks have a lot of dropped interceptions.
That was still lucky though.
But that's still luck in terms of who drops what and how many they end up picking that year. And this year, guys aren't dropping his interceptions. It's very strange.
No, they're not.
I
mean, the ball's on the ground. The other team's jumping on it. The offense, so if you look at every major category offensively, they're still in the top 5.
Yep.
So
yeah. But
turnovers is not one of those. Turnovers has been a huge, huge issue. But Rod's right. This is really all about the defense. And they haven't invested in the defense.
Frank Clark?
Dude, I looked at it.
Honey Badger?
Okay, so Honey Badger was what, 3 or 4 years ago? I'm talking about the last couple years.
And Chris Jones?
Chris Jones and Frank Clark are the only ones to do that. Between those two, and they've missed some time, do you know how many sacks they have together? And they all they both came in week 1? 2. They've got 2 sacks. So those guys who they did invest in have not lived up to what they really need from them. But also, the biggest thing is they were 28th in ESPN's pass rush win rate.
Mm-hmm.
They're beating their blocks within 2.5 seconds, just 34% of the time.
Yeah.
So
no, you're right. They're not winning enough.
Yeah, they're not winning enough, but they also really haven't gone out there. The Chiefs have just 2 former first-round draft picks on defense, neither one drafted by KC, and that's Mike Hughes and DeAndre Baker, who were kind of just given up by their former team. So those are your 2 first-rounders. And then their 3 recent defensive picks in the top 3 rounds have not done much.
That's what's killing them, man.
Kalen Sanders, Breland Speaks, and then Dorian O'Daniel.
The draft picks on defense haven't provided any real substantive starts and reps for them. I agree with that.
They're just not talented on defense. I mean, they've got some players, but they haven't invested the way they should have. They obviously totally rebuilt the offensive line. That was the focus this offseason.
Which is a smart move.
Protect
Mahomes.
But it's not really doing that much if he's blitzed 13% of the time and pressured 35% of the time. And then you've got a defense which needs a lot of help. I'm not sure how fixable the defense is. I think the offensive line will get better. The fact that if they just clean up their offense and don't turn the ball over, they're in every category in the top 5. So offensively, they're going to probably get back to where they were. Defensively, This is going to be a bad team all year long, a bad defense all year long. The question is, how much can the offense carry them? And they're already pressing too much.
Yeah. No, they're 32nd in first downs allowed, yards allowed, yards allowed per play, and points now. And they're 31st in pass yards allowed, receiving yards allowed, and rush yards allowed. That is a bad defense.
It's a bad defense, and it's really bad when Chris Jones and Frank Clark aren't playing up to their level. They need those guys to be war daddies with Honey Badger, Ball Hawking in the back end, and certain guys stepping up. But when you look at the talent and kind of look at how they've gone after certain talent, it's been on offense, and a lot of that was the offensive line, and it's just not been there this year.
They might need to have the same kind of draft the Cowboys had last year.
I would think so.
Or that the Panthers had when Matt Rule got there.
Two years ago.
When they went all defense.
All defense.
I know it sounds crazy, but for what Kansas City's dealing with right now, so they don't totally shrink or minimize the window for Patrick Mahomes. And I know it's a really, he's got a long window. He's a really young quarterback. But still, they seem poised to be ready to make a run.
Yeah.
And then that stopped instantly. Like, come on. Last year, they were talking about winning multiple Super Bowls, and now they're barely going to make the playoffs if you project over the rest of the 17 games. So I would have one. I would consider one of those drafts where they just go all defense.
They're still number two SP+, but I'm kidding.
Hey, that's a shot at Bill Connelly.
I know. That's not a shot at you. I understand that. It's a total shot at Bill Connelly.
So, hey, sometimes the advanced stats, hey, that's why they play the game. He played a damn game.
Yeah, I think he had 7 dropped interceptions last year.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, it was 7. But it was still a lot, and it may have been more than that.
I think I had a higher number, but I it wasn't me. It was from a site.
Yeah, I'm looking at one now, and they're saying 7. So just take care of the football. They've got the Giants next week, and that should get them back on track. But then after that, 3 out of their next 4 games, Rod, division leaders.
Yeah. No.
Packers, Raiders, Cowboys.
They got a shot, man. That Cowboys game is going to be interesting. Those two offenses can score a lot of points.
The thing about it I love is you still can't look away. I'm still looking at Clemson that way, even though I've known they've been a fraud this year for a little while. I still watch them. There's something about seeing a dynastic run, and you're wondering, is this a blip in the journey, or is this going to be 2010 Texas?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Maybe that's me as a Texas fan thinking that. All right, there's some one and done getting into the Chiefs and what's going on. Let's get to Off the Record coming up next. They've got JFK news out this weekend. You know we're getting to it.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a break my head comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F-ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. This one is actually about one of the most infamous events in American history. The White House announced late Friday that it would further postpone the release of more documents related to the 1963 assassination of JFK. It pointed to, quote, significant impact of COVID-19 as a reason as to why they're postponing the release of these documents. President Joe Biden issued a memo that said the National Archivist recommended he direct 2 public releases of the information that has ultimately been determined to be appropriate for release to the public. The first will be an interim release later this year, with a secondary, more comprehensive release coming late in 2022. The memo said that COVID-19 pandemic has slowed down the process of reviewing whether redactions continue to meet the statutory standards.
Okay.
So basically, they want to make sure.
You can do all this at home by yourself, right? That sounds like a BS excuse.
What do you mean? It's definitely a BS excuse. But,
okay.
But why? What do you mean?
Well, it's been a BS excuse for no matter what administration.
Yeah, definitely a BS excuse.
It's delaying it.
Yeah, but I think their reasoning that they're giving, their rationale is that now
throw COVID under the bus.
Well, I think they're saying COVID has changed a lot, like politically and everything. So now they got to go back and make sure that the redactions are still current with the new legislation and everything that is has been passed because of COVID, or everything that has to do with COVID, or any relations to other countries diplomatically that may have changed because of COVID. We
got
to go back and redact that because, actually that was something that's relevant now to our relationship with this country. So now we can't have people knowing about
it was 60 years ago.
I know, but that,
that's
the kind of stuff they're doing. So it ain't just because of COVID. COVID has changed a lot politically, financially, you know, everything. So they want to now have to go back and apply their new COVID, like COVID thinking, if you will, in terms of legislative, diplomacy, finance, all that, and then apply that to the redaction standards.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I would love to find out what COVID has changed politically that would what COVID especially has altered with what information we're going to get out of this.
Probably changed our diplomatic standing with some countries because of the way they handled COVID.
Okay.
Stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm doing plenty.
Well, I would start with China, hopefully.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a lot.
That's where it started.
COVID has, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot. All right. I mean, President Trump was just there. President Trump had a lot going on.
He's in China?
No, I'm just saying a lot going on.
Oh, he was just, gotcha. Yeah.
So I'm saying, you know, you never know what has to say. I think it's all BS, but I
think it's definitely BS.
I can understand where they're coming from. And this is a blanket, like, you know, statement they can make. Well, oh, man, we have to go back and...
You would think with their poll ratings they would go and take an easy layup. And
that's one
of the few things where we could all be like, yeah, we want that release.
Yeah. But, you know, secrecy, our government believes secrecy is power.
Well,
that's
beyond
power.
The president.
There's power in secrecy.
Oh, I know.
That's our country's always
believed.
Someone's
been trying to figure this out forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to give us any useful information either.
So we've had,
it's going to be tons
of
nothing.
We've had quote-unquote useful information released.
Yeah.
And I think Trump even did that. And I would go through it, and I'm like, listen, I wanted an answer.
Yeah.
I didn't want this.
Yeah. They say, according to the White House, more than 94% of the records in the National Archives assassination collection already have been released, with the administration aiming for maximum possible disclosure of all the information by the end of 2022.
We're not disclosing anything.
No. You're not getting any information. I hate to break it to you.
And I've known that for a little while.
Because some people are so into this, they have told their kids, you know, that back in the 80s and 90s when they were still postponing the release of information, hey, I'm telling my kids to be cognizant of these dates so when the government releases it, you know, you can read up on the assassination of your president and what the government had to do with it and their role in it and how much they knew and when they knew it.
See,
and
I
what
think
they
that's
do
more of it. There's already this huge distrust in government.
Oh, so much.
And,
more than ever before, actually.
And understandably so, that a lot of it understandably so, that you don't want to add to that at all. But a lot of us people my age or our age, that distrust was when we started reading about stuff like this as kids. And you're like, wait a minute.
It's not all that.
This is not adding up.
This doesn't make sense.
I don't know what happened.
Magic bullet theory?
I don't know what happened.
Magic bullet theory? You tried to...
But that didn't happen.
The Warren Commission tried to sell America on the magic bullet theory?
Yes.
It really is. It's amazing that was actually a thing.
Yeah.
That's a government-backed document.
Right.
They put science behind it and everything, that a bullet would take like 4 or 5 different angles.
Right. We can't even agree on science now.
It was amazing that they threw it out.
At least could agree on that science back in the day.
The gall and the audacity of the American government to go,
the balls.
Magic bullet theory.
Sheep.
Go with that.
Sheep will listen.
What the hell?
And the reality was there were a lot of people that weren't sheep. And that's why this thing is, because they wanted this thing just to go away.
Oh, yeah. No, what was Zapruder is the reason. If it was not for the Zapruder film, this thing would go away. The Zapruder film,
without a doubt,
it was the one thing they didn't count on. Whoever,
let me tell you this,
grand conspiracy,
let me tell you this. It actually wouldn't have gone away, but it wouldn't be nearly as big if we didn't have video. I'm guaranteed people still.
I don't know if
it
had gone away, but I don't think it would be what it is today.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's what I just said.
It would not
be what it is today, but people would read that and just say, wait a minute, that didn't add up. Once we got video with it, it was like, okay.
Yeah, because I think that you would have accepted the government's whatever reason or rationale behind it if not for the Zapruder film. The Zapruder film is the one that proves there was a second shooter. Other than that, you'd have to go off the people eyewitness accounts, and they'd all be dead by now. Yeah. The Zapruder film is what proves.
A lot of them were dead right after.
Yeah, they had to come up with the magic bullet theory because of the Zapruder film. Because of the way that the trajectory of the bullet is like, okay, one bullet could not do that. Oh, well, you know what? It was a magic bullet. Well, it looked like it was two shooters. No, magic bullet, you idiots. And that's why they had to come up with the magic bullet, which exposed them for being frauds. Because American people were like, okay, that's just ridiculous.
It exposed
them.
That
doesn't even add up. There's no physics, no science that backs that up.
But there would have been enough stuff. There's been stuff released outside of the Zapruder film. I mean, really, if you want to get into it, JFK, when he was taken to Bethesda and they tried to remake, did makeup on those photos ended up coming out. They would have come out, but it probably wouldn't have had the fire that it did at the time. But at some point, people just kind of figure out the government's full of crap on this.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one.
I can't wait. I can't wait to never actually get a release on that.
It's not happening.
It's going to be our own little mystery our whole life. All right, 2 hours in, 2 hours to go. We will get some Texas Baylor talk. We wanted to recap some of the stuff we saw over the weekend, which did not include Texas or Baylor. Both teams got the week off, so Baylor's been running the football. Can Texas stop it? Can Texas actually fix that run D in 2 weeks? We'll get into the Horns and Bears coming up next.